listen, listen, listen. God is speaking to us.
Kairos Milwaukee United Church of Christ presents Can't See the Wheat for All the Weeds, a sermon by Joanna Hart, presented on Sunday, July 20th, 2014.
In Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, the parable of weeds among the wheat. Let me reiterate. Somebody has planted weeds in your life. You can't pluck them out without taking out the good stuff. Somebody has the audacity to tell you to wait. Let the weeds grow along with everything else and everyone else. Then take them out when the good stuff is ready to harvest. You can separate them then. So who are the weeds in our life? Barbara Brown Taylor is often quoted in the UCC circles. I don't know a lot about her, but I did read a quote she had about describing the weeds in the world. She says, weeds are thorny people who were not part of the plan, who are not or were not welcome, sucking up sunlight and water that were meant for good plants, not weeds. Rather harsh, if you ask me. As I've said in an earlier sermon, I can be skeptic at times of people's motives. I have to step back and allow someone to tell me they're up to good, not harm at times. I've had trouble listening because of this to people, but then I've regretted the not listening to those who might annoy me. I think we were meant for listening, or we wouldn't have regrets by not doing it. I'm sure it's easy for you and I to point out, it's certainly easy for me to point out those who get on our nerves, irritate us, maybe even spoil or upset or distract the plans we have. Let's see, the people that get on my nerves. People who don't think before they speak. I can irritate myself, I do that. And we wind up really hurting the person at the end of our words. Many politicians are famous for this. Whether they really hate each other in private, it's hard to tell. They sure do spew snake venom in public. However you feel about Congress or about the president has received such harshness of words, you'd think he had rounded up groups of people who didn't believe in what he had to say or do and had them shot. Okay, so some Congress people get on my nerves. People who would rather fight then ask questions first. However you feel about Ukraine and Russia, or Israel and Gaza, it appears to me they are fighting without deciding truly the implications, or whether perhaps it's best to talk first and decide why exactly they hate each other. This all sounds simplistic and idealistic, but doesn't most fighting happen because they decided to act first before and then ask questions later? I knew a woman in graduate school who also was getting the Master of Divinity. She graduated a couple of years before I did, who some fellow students called an emotional vampire. They said she could suck the life out of her room because of how she processed her life in front of other people. I knew her. She was rash to judge, including her own background. She certainly had not moved through her childhood issues fully, but who has, in some respect? She saw the world harshly, and you could certainly get swept up in that. She could be depressing. It would be easy to bundle her up in the bundles of people whose harsh view of the world sucks you in and blocks out the sunlight. I couldn't have been irritated by that, especially because I'm sensitive enough often to pick up the emotions of other people. I have to be careful not to take them on as my own. I had a former coworker who made it impossible for me to work with her after a while. It was when I was working for a daily newspaper in a small town. We started out working just fine together. Then I started dating someone, this is a small town, who had rebuffed a friend of hers, whom I also happened to work with. Okay, now the vulnerability comes. Then she wanted nothing more to do with me. I was so pained by the obvious rejection that I couldn't talk to her about it. I talked to my boss because it was getting in the way of us working together, but they wouldn't rectify the situation. We were thorns in each other's sides, and neither of us knew how to remove it. I ended up leaving the job earlier than I'd meant because of the tension, and I've regretted it to this day. Not necessarily that leaving the job it was meant to be, but allowing that thorn to remain in place. I've gone over this scenario many times, how I would have done it differently. Since we did not remove the thorns, we were able to keep the labels of each other as thorns in our head. I'm sure she may have called me something to the effect of homewrecker, even though there was no infidelity. And I called her small-minded, even though I never really got to understand her side of it, because I kept the thorn in. So, who have been those thorns in your life? Who in your life, past or present, have caused you a pain in your side? And again, at the most, upset your plans. We could certainly name weeds in our world till kingdom come if we wanted to. Climate change deniers, homeless people, people who throw trash willy-nilly. Some people would call those who don't work for a living, who spend the taxpayers' money, weeds, thorns. Anyone denying others equal opportunity could be seen as thorns in people's side. It's easy to label people we want to pluck out of our lives. They irritate us, cause us to think about the world as other than a warm and inviting place that treats everyone equally. For the average gardener, your weeds are taken out as soon as they grow. They are uninvited immediately. As soon as they crowd the flowers or the vegetables, they're out of there. We are afraid they will deny the flowers and vegetables and grass the nutrients they need, that they will somehow make everything less beautiful and vibrant. But this parable in the Gospel of Matthew says something new, something different about how to treat the weeds in our lives. God so shines forth his wisdom in this parable, can't believe, at least for me. Stay the course. Don't be so apt to pluck out the weeds as soon as they are noticeable. For if I do, it could diminish the harvest as a whole. They will do harm to the good, to the abundance. You must allow them to grow and not take them out until everything is ready to come out, says the wisdom of God. Then you can separate them. Put the good harvest with the good and the weeds in the burn pile to get rid of it. So let's take this message in two parts. First, we are asked to let them grow with us, all the thorns to be part of our lives. I take this to mean that somehow the thorns allow us to grow, that we need them to give our life bounty, that without them our roots may not grow as strong or as high. I have to say that my own thorns in my life, it would have been certainly easier to pluck them out. Life may have gone smoother, but obviously God had other plans. Apparently God likes bumps. God likes relationships not to always come in nice, neat packages. And whether we know it or not, we're the better for it. The second part of that parable to address is the idea that at the end, the obvious good parts of the harvest get used well for their nutrition for which they were intended, and the weeds get the burn pile. I know there are some who would be willing to put all homeless people, all poverty, all dregs of society in a warehouse somewhere where we don't have to look at them. The weeds are out of our sight, we'd hope. But that doesn't happen, obviously. We are reminded of these weeds every day. They ask us for money. The food banks continue to be needed. Certain people continue to get on our nerves. From personal experience, I would include the aging who get put into nursing homes and then don't get visited again. I know that was the case where my mother was in Warrensburg, Missouri. Fortunately, not my mother, but there were certainly people who never got visited. Now, interestingly, my uncle never visited my mother until she almost died, until she was almost ready to go. I wonder why that is. Why did he not confront the thorn? Was he afraid of what my mother reminded of him, immortality, or perhaps something else? Feeling responsible for health issues that came on early for my mother. God does not want weeds in the burn pile or the warehouse or anywhere out of our sight, or they would be. What are they meant to teach us? I invite us to listen closely to our weeds, as they have as much to say to save to us as our nutritional wheat does. They prompt us to take a second look at why we're here, what we are meant to do. I suggest we keep them with us instead of hoping they'll just go away.
Listen.